Hi, and good day, dear friends, and welcome to today's message titled Finding Fulfillment, Cracking the Code of God's Agape Love to Fill the Void and Fuel Your Faith with God's Overflowing Love. And today's message is taken from that beautiful verse in 1 John 3, verse 17, which, in all honesty, if we really look at it, is a little bit of a difficult verse because it says the following. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? And it's really just what we are going to be doing. It's not just analyzing the Greek meaning of these letters and putting them together to form a sentence, because keeping in mind every single letter, especially Hebrew letters, you know, the Greek and the Hebrew letters, they should all point to Yeshua. So what we are going to be doing is we're going to be analyzing the Greek letters of the Greek word agape and finding God's hidden message for us. Because as I don't believe you guys know, one can analyze these Greek letters, and as long as we have scripture that point us to Jesus and affirm what's been said, you know, God doesn't have a problem with us analyzing these Greek letters. So a little note here, and this is just on the verse, the acid test of Christianity, by which we know whether we are following the example of God's love to others, is the above mentioned verse. If we are not willing to give of material things to others in need, we certainly would not lay down our lives for them. And keeping in mind, you know, our whole purpose of this verse, you know, of this podcast, analyzing this verse and of this podcast that we do, is not just to affirm, to challenge, you know, to uplift our identity and our faith and strengthen our walk in God, but it's also to point to Yeshua, aka Jesus, you know, who, as scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, when we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. And that really is the main point, because when we see Jesus, you know, we see his example, and that's what causes our hearts to change. And as a result, you know, that is what brings about effortless transformation, because nobody can, you know, look in that mirror, which is Jesus, of whom we are a representative and a likeness of in this world, in our identity, through our identity in him, and not be changed. So that's why it's so key for us to see him, so that we may be changed and not try to uphold it by our own strength, but try to uphold it through the God-breathed strength that Yeshua, aka Jesus himself, gives to us. So if you guys are ready, I'll be giving you the lesson on these Hebrew, or rather these Greek letters today. So here we go. Agape. So agape is made up of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters, which are the following. Agape, referring to God's agape love, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. So here we go. Alpha, Gamma, Alpha, Pi, and Eta. And the numerical value of these letters are for Alpha, 1, Gamma, 3, Alpha, 1, Pi, 80, and Eta, 8. So it all comes down to the numerical value of these three letters. They are 93 in total. So the first meaning of the first letter of the Greek word agape is alpha, the beginning, second meaning the first and the last, third meaning the alpha and the omega, fourth meaning the beginning and the end. So keeping in mind, guys, I will be led by the Holy Spirit as to, you know, what, which meanings, how many meanings per letters to incorporate into this, because I will try my best to incorporate all of this, but for the sake of not wanting to overload you guys, unless the Holy Spirit says, you know, go, 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 you know, we're going to keep it nice and simple. So now we have the meaning of alpha, and supporting scripture for this is Revelation 1 verse 8. The meaning of gamma is Yeshua being raised on the third day, fulfilling the prophecies as per the verse Luke 24 verse 46. Then we have the third letter again, which is the same letter after the first letter, alpha. The fulfillment of God's redemptive plan for all humanity, creation, and the cosmos. Now, keeping in mind, guys, the cosmos doesn't just refer, you know, to the world, but the correct context of the word cosmos. So every time you come across the word Greek word cosmos in your Bible studies, think about, you know, not just the earth, but the entirety of creation that was, creation that is, and creation that will be. All of creation. So when it says the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan for all humanity, creation, and the cosmos, that is what it refers to when it speaks about the cosmos. And the supporting verse for this is John 3, verse 16 to 17, which I know by heart, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not die, but have eternal and everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, but to save it." Hallelujah. Woohoo. So the fourth letter is Yeshua, meaning of the fourth letter is the word pi, which means Yeshua as the cornerstone. And the supporting scriptures for this is Psalm 118, verse 22, and Ephesians 2, verse 20. And the last letter, but not the least, is the letter Eta. Or Eta, forgive me if I butchered the pronunciation, but it's the word E-T-A, Eta, which is, has the meaning of Yeshua being the embodiment of truth and grace. And the scripture for that is John 1 verse 14. So we are going to, as I'm sure you guys, if you've been sticking around or been with us for a long time, what we're going to be doing now is we are going to be putting together these, the meaning of these letters, you know, so that we can find out God's hidden message for us and how this word agape, you know, points to Jesus. Because as I mentioned to you guys before, when we behold him with unveiled face, the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, i.e. seen as he is, so are we in this world. We are changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. So the sentence that we are going to be reading from, because I already have my notes on this, is, so the word agape means the agape love of God was found in the fact that it was decreed that the Alpha and the Omega, Yeshua, would be crucified on the cross and would be raised again on the third day, fulfilling the prophecies and bringing about the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan for humanity, creation, and the cosmos. All that was created, all that is created, and all that ever will be created. It is through the cornerstone Yeshua, aka Jesus, that the foundation of the church is established and equipped to share Yeshua, his message of the gospel, as the embodiment of truth and grace to the world through the gospel and ministry of reconciliation that God has gifted to the church. Woo-hoo-hoo. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, it's just such a beautiful picture of how Yeshua, the Alpha and the Omega, it had been decreed from the beginning, you know, that he was going to be crucified on the cross and that he would be fulfilling the prophecies that's going to bring about the redemptive plan for humanity, creation, and the cosmos. And it is through him that the foundation of the church is established and equipped to share Yeshua as the embodiment of truth and grace to the world through the gospel and the ministry of reconciliation. And it's so beautiful, especially this bit where it points to, and not just points to Yeshua, but it points to him being the foundation, that cornerstone upon which the church is built. You know, and as Yeshua said, you know, upon this rock, not just himself, but you know, not just Peter, but himself, will he build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. And it's just an encouragement for us, you know, that as it says in Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, the Lord builds the house, and those who labor on it build in vain. You know, those who labor on it without God's blessing build in vain. And it's just an encouragement to us, you know, to understand, you know, that God had decreed before the foundation of the world that Yeshua, aka Jesus, was going to be crucified. He was going to be crucified, and his crucifixion, and he's been the cornerstone, as it says in Philippians 4, verse 13, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. And it's really just a reminder, you know, as it says in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love God because he first loved us. And it's not in and of ourselves that we love our God, but it's when we see that, you know, God had decreed it from the beginning of the world, from the beginning of the foundation of the world, that Yeshua was going to be crucified, and that he was going to act as the cornerstone for us, so that we can spread the message of the gospel, and that so that we in him can be the ministry, and not just have the ministry of reconciliation, but that we can be the ministers of reconciliation, reconciling the world to God. And that's what God's love is. God's love is the decree that he was going to be crucified so that he can act as the cornerstone upon which he will build his church, so that the gates of hell will not prevail against it through us being ministers of the reconciliation of humanity and creation and the cosmos to God. And that's essentially what God's love is. God's love is the manifestation of the fulfillment of God's reconciliation to humanity. You know, God bridging the gap, covering with his blood to make a bridge the sins of the world, so that humanity, through humility and through repentance, can embrace that freely given, all embracing forgiveness that God had given us, so that we may be one with the Godhead, not just one with Jesus, but that we may be one with the Godhead as Jesus is one with the Godhead. You know, and that is so amazing. You know, that is what God's love is. It's not just the covering of all sin, but it's the manifestation of God reconciling himself, you know, to humanity, and offering mankind, who are the only beings that God has created who have free will, to either reject him or embrace him. And when they embrace him, they step, don't just step into the ability of being able to access his divinity through the name above all names, Yeshua HaMashiach, but they step into the ability to be one with God through Jesus, one with the Godhead through Jesus, as God is one with Jesus, as God the Father is one with Jesus, as God the Spirit is one with Jesus, Holy Spirit is one with Jesus, as Jesus is one with God the Father and God the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, mind you. So yeah, that is today's message. And may you guys know, you know, and be empowered by this love of God, which never fails. Because as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, it says, the love of God never fails. Love never fails. And when we look at that word, what does it mean? It means that the agape of God, the agape love of God, that all-encompassing, all supreme, that all powerful love of God never fails. May you guys remember it, may it strengthen you, and may you guys know that it's the love of God which has gone before you to prepare the way for the manifestation of the fullness of heaven's kingdom on earth. Be blessed, guys, and we hope this message has blessed you, that it equips you, and that it encourages you and strengthens your walk with God, to know that as He is, so are you in this world, to know that you are one with God as Jesus is one with God, and that it's only through Him that we are as He is in this world. Because as it says in 1 John 4 verse 19, herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that as He is, so are we in this world. Glory to God on high, and peace on earth to all men. Be blessed, guys, and hope you have a lovely week. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed this episode and found it insightful. To hear more Christ-centered, Bible-based, identity-affirming content, make sure to like, comment your thoughts, suggestions, what you'd like to see next, etc. Share with your friends and subscribe to our podcast, Warriors of Love Ministries, available on all major podcasting platforms.